At the top of our program today, the Michigan House Education Committee is looking over a controversial proposal that could hold back thousands of the state's young learners. A measure introduced last week would require third graders to repeat that year if they did not score proficient on the MEEP standardized test. Supporters say the measure is meant to be a backstop to prevent young students from falling behind in reading skills. Opponents, including our next guest, say the bill is flawed in part because it removes local control from school districts. To discuss this measure and several others she's hearing about on the House Education Committee, we welcome back State Representative Teresa Abbott of Grand Ledge. Nice to see you.
Thank you. I love being here.
And Teresa is a Democrat representing the 71st District, which covers a lot of Eaton County. Your fellow Education Committee member, Representative Amanda Price, introduced the third grade reading measure. Tell us more about why you're against it.
Everyone would like children to be proficient by third. I mean, that would be the ideal. The thing that we know is that all children are not proficient by third for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that does not take into account is why children are not proficient. So there are many loopholes, many questions in this bill, and it's, again, a one-size-fits-all. All children at a certain time, at a certain place, will all be at the same level. This is what was wrong with No Child Left Behind. With No Child Left Behind, we were going to say everyone was going to be proficient 100% by the upcoming year. So all schools are getting a waiver. Here again, we have a one-size-fits-all. All children by third grade are going to be proficient. What we're not looking at is if children are not proficient, which many are not, why? Let's look at why. Let's put resources.
That's not known. It's not known why.
Exactly. Well, they do know why, and that's the issue. Every school is different, though. So for one school, it might be attendance. So there's a huge issue with attendance. Another school, it may be a huge special education population. So there's different reasons why kids in certain grades are low and not proficient. So what we want to do is look at why. Let's look at why they're not proficient and then put the resources there. What this bill does is put the resources in after the child is held back. And we know by even the research that holding a child back, they're 5 times more likely not to graduate. So my concerns are that it's dangerous to adopt a philosophy of one size fits all. We need to emphasize instead of a one test and determining whether a child gets retained based on one test, that we need to look at a child over time and see if they're growing. Is there growth? Does a child need to be retained for a whole year when what they might need is some tutoring during the summer?
Are you saying we need to be more vigilant before
Yes.
we hit the before students hit the third grade?
What is very ironic about this legislation, and that very much bothers me, is that what we have been doing in the past years is taking away resources from our schools. There are excellent reading programs. I worked in the schools for 30 years, and that's one of the reasons I ran, and I'm very troubled by the pattern that we have. And what the pattern is let's take away resources, let's take away the ability of us to have parapros in the classroom, to have small class size, for great reading programs such as Reading Recovery. All that has changed because of funding. We no longer have parapros in the classroom. In one of my districts, we have 28 kids in kindergarten. That's the only grade where they're allowed parapros. So what we're doing with our schools is taking away resources, handcuffing our schools, and then saying, and now we're going to hold you to every child has to be proficient, or we're going to penalize your school. Instead, let's have a positive approach, and let's give our schools the resources, help them offer the supports that our children need, including smaller class size, including more one-on-one help, including great reading programs that have had to be cut over time because of the funding.
If the money isn't there, then what do you do? I mean, so many districts are strapped for cash.
And that's what's happening in our schools is we're trying to do the best that can be done. And what we're trying to do is offer what we can offer. But what this bill does is say, we'll give you resources after the child has failed. If they're really wanting to give resources, please, let's pass them on. They did in the legislature, we did one thing right, which was to give money for early, for the preschool years, which is great. Let's continue that. When we see weaknesses, let's put supports there.
What do you say to people who say we've got too long a history of just automatically passing students? That's a topic that's been around for right. so many years, and that the price that society is paying to pass students who are clearly not proficient is simply too great.
Yeah. Let me tell you how we did it in the schools that I worked in, which was very effective. And what we did is we met as a team. So it was the principal, it was the parent, it was the teacher. And sometimes we brought in the child for parts of the meeting to determine what is the best course of action for this particular child to help them succeed. Sometimes it may be that they actually need some testing and they qualify for special education services. Other times they need a different method of teaching, or let's double up on some things. That's how we did it. And so it wasn't every child gets retained. It was local control. It was the parent part of the decision making. And Mark, one of the things I really want to bring out is one of the things I did as soon as this bill got put on the table is that I reached out to parents. I made over 100 calls. And you don't know how thankful that they were to say, thank you. You wanting my input on what I think about this bill? You wanting to know this affects my child? All of them want children that are proficient, but all of them said there are deep concerns about this.
We're talking with State Representative Teresa Abbott, who sits on the House Education Committee. Do the resources exist to remediate a lot of students, though? I mean,
yes,
what I'm hearing
right.
is a very fluid situation
right.
with regard to students and their proficiency, that students, even in the same grade, may be all over the map
right.
in terms of their capability. That sounds like a lot of customized remediation. It sounds really expensive.
Well, sometimes, yeah, right. Well, one is funding is definitely a part of the equation. We cannot take that out of the equation. Even for this bill, they say, oh, we'll put in added resources after they retain. So we have to give resources. But on top of that, sometimes what it is you're just having a meeting and deciding that you need to teach in a different manner or have groups in your classroom and then you have different stations. So there's different ways to do it, but I want to tell you what some of the other parents said to me about this. One parent said, you know what, my child was struggling in reading. However, they excelled in math. So you're going to hold my child back and they excel in other areas because of reading, which they're going to catch up. This, but it may not be right in third grade. The testing right now for MEEP is the beginning of third. And for me, when even with the Common Core, which I ended up voting against at the end, they took out developmental standards, making sure they're developmentally appropriate. For our young learners, there is a range when you learn things. Everyone doesn't learn it at the same time, the same place, at the same rate. And we have to give some flexibility there and give that child some time, but also add some supports because it may have time to catch up. The other piece is another parent wrote me, and that parent said her child suffers from test anxiety. But she's very, very good in reading. But she doesn't do well on tests. So when we have a one test that's going to determine this, then here we're going to have to hold a child back. And where is the cutoff? How low does a child have to be? And the biggest question of all is, what does proficiency mean? When we say a child is proficient, what does that term mean? How are we going to measure it? What's the cutoff point?
You voted against the Common Core funding
yes,
at the end?
I voiced opposition. I actually got on the floor to speak to it and was not called on.
And you cast a no vote.
Well, it was a voice vote because they refused to take a vote on the board, which I thought was not good because there's no accountability. But I was opposed to the resolution and said no to the resolution.
Were there any other Democrats who voted against it? There was a
yes.
voice vote, so
yes.
there's no way of knowing for sure. But
I am not sure how many.
Okay.
I know that there another representative, Republican Tom McMillan, was very strong against it because language that we were able to get in on a bipartisan way in the House was deleted in the Senate.
No, I'm talking about Democrats, though.
But I am not aware if whether any other Democrats, because it was a voice vote, it was hard to tell. You couldn't really tell.
And once again, this was a local control issue.
Yes,
it certainly was.
And it was making sure that what we're asking kids to do is developmentally appropriate. and there was 500 psychologists, mental health specialists, brain research that said that they were not developmentally appropriate for our young learners, K through 3. We just ignored it. Well, you know, and just threw that part out. I think that's atrocious.
You're a member of a very small club.
I am.
A Democrat who resisted common core standards. When do you expect the third grade reading? Do you expect the third grade reading measure to come to a vote soon on your committee?
I think there's still many, many concerns about it. So I'm hoping there's still going to be dialogue. One of the things that upsets me is that being on the education committee, so many things come before us fast and furiously. And instead of looking and examining something, we get proposals all the time by legislators. Why are legislators, many who know little about education, deciding how teachers and principals and parents are going to educate their kids? Why are we so much an intricate part? This is where government is way too involved in our school system.
There are a majority of Republicans on your committee, though?
There are, there's some that agree with the third grade retention, some that have been asking really good questions.
We're talking with State Rep. Teresa Abbott of the 71st District. Now, another measure you're debating, this is House Bill 5112, would change the recently enacted color-coded school accountability scorecard. This got quite a bit of ink when it came out, and it would replace the colored approach with a letter grade system. Remind us what the purpose of the accountability scorecard is, please.
Well, this is put into effect because of No Child Left Behind, and with the AYP, the Average Yearly Progress, and we got a waiver to be able to not use that because with No Child Left Behind, as I just referenced earlier.
Adequate.
But as we were saying with No Child Left Behind, most states have asked for exemptions because it just was not realistic. It wasn't realistic for every child to be proficient at. So we were requiring students that something that was not possible for 100%. So what this is a waiver. And this has met the needs of that waiver as far as this new scorecard. And that's why it came out, is because a lot of this was mandated by the waiver.
And the measure would replace that, would replace
right.
the color-coded approach with a letter-grade approach that supporters like the chairwoman of your committee, Republican Lisa Postumus-Lyons, says needs to be simpler and more transparent. What do you think?
Well, and let me clarify, because with the No Child Left Behind waiver, what was put into effect is the color coding. And Representative Lyons put before us the letter grading. The reasoning that I understand for the letter grading is to clarify for parents. However, it is not all that's in that bill. It's not just let's take the colors and change them to A, B, C, D, E, and F. There's a lot of other changes in that system. So that's what's concerning. I completely agree that there are faults in the current color-coded system. Because there's so many pieces of measurement that's in there, it's muddied the waters. It's very hard. You have so much put into this that when you look at the total score, you're not quite knowing what you're looking at.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Very exciting.
Talk about education.
I could talk forever.
All hour here.
Okay.
State Representative Teresa Abbott of Grand Ledge has been our guest. She's the Democrat that represents the State House's 71st District. Good luck. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.